promoting the timber plantation. That put our government in a very difficult position, because when these plantations will be starting taking negatively on the people, how will the government be able to bail out the public?
In doing this, now that in itself is not unfair. The problem is that there are rules that say that should the seller and the buyer cease to form part of the same group, then if the buyer still has those assets on hand, there will be a deemed disposal by that buyer, and at that point the buyer will become subject to the capital gains tax and the income tax that the foreign company should have suffered. Now, what is the proposal in these rules are, if the rules are enacted as proposed, you will find that this non-resident company now suddenly ceases to form part of the same group because of the proposed change, and there is then going to be a degrouping. So the unfairness comes in that you had a transaction that took place, you had the certainty that you just needed to keep that group together in order to avoid this deeming anti-avoidance rule applying. But now suddenly, as a result of legislation changing, the group's going to be broken up without there being any action on the part of the taxpayer. That's the unfairness that we see in the legislation. Although these rules only apply to disposals occurring on or after 1 January next year, in effect, this has got retrospective application because it affects the transaction that happened.
We are also very concerned as the NGO community in terms of the FSC, the Forest Guard Council, the certification process, whereby they are actually using a certification process which was designed overseas for pine plantations which happened to be indigenous in those countries. And now they are applied in South Africa. And then where these timber plantations are actually alien vegetation, which is impacting deadly on our biodiversity. And we would be very happy to a situation whereby we would actually start a process whereby we would have our own certification process, which is a South African baby. And I would like for as well to strongly suggest that EIA, or not in a area, environmental management plan, are done prior any exception of timber condition to make sure that the impact will be minimized in those areas. And then, as people who are going to take the opportunity to come in under the charter to establish timber conditions must be given a true reflection of what it would do. Because once you take your land and you put it under timber, you have lost that land. Because you cannot use it for grazing. You are not going to. You are going to start concerns around water. As I'm saying, I've witnessed this in my village, for instance, where I come from, Tonaland. The people who used to get water within 500 meters now get water about a kilometer and then up due to the gum tree and what is the thing that's an issue within those communities.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm a human rights activist. My organization is becoming a creative services, and I'm also going to represent the GSP.
Welcome.
Thank you, Helen. Most of the collaboration has been really unpacked by my colleague here. Only few things that really I need to go about. As we know that water is a very, 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 very precious resource, and yet the life is part of life. Now the problem that we have is that are caused by this timber plantation. in most areas, like where I'm from personally, I'm very close to, actually I'm in between timber plantations where I can see the difference between when we grew up and now in terms of water scarcity, grassland destruction, and the most important thing that I have seen happening is that most of our indigenous plants are being destroyed by this timber plantation. Hence, our medicinal use plants that are scarce. Actually, where I'm from, there is a place that people used to come for their medicinal plants. But as I'm speaking to you now, that place hasn't got any medicinal plant anymore. That is because of the impact of timber plantation. The explosion in water projects throughout Southern Africa has had negative impact on our community. Forest plantation and large dam projects have harmed many communities that depend on rivers for their livelihood and culture, and have done great ecological damage and harm across the region. The benefits have often been concentrated in the wealthier segment of society, thus increasing social inequity. Poor, illiterate, lower class, poverty stricken citizens of our rural communities have been forcefully removed from their ancestral land to make way for the individual or group or corporate to make profit. Impact of water law in South Africa is divided into two acts, and one deals with water services, that is Water Services Act of 1997, and Water Resources, that's the National Water Act of 1998. Both acts are in line with the Constitution as the supreme law. Act of 1997 provides for the right of access to public water, the supply and sanitation. The National Water Act of 1998 deals with the protection, use, development, conservation, management of South African water services. The Constitution is right. It also has an underlying theme that the participatory and accountable government is the key element in our democracy. This is given substance in the Bill of Rights, particularly in Section 32, the right of access to information, Section 33, the right to just administrative action. The Act gives federal effect to this section, Chapter 10 of the Constitution, set out basic values and principal government public administration, which includes, among other things, development oriented, and public must be encouraged to participate. The SA Constitution, Civil Section 27, Subsection 1, Paragraph 2, states that everyone has the right to have access to sufficient food and water. The state must take reasonable legislative and other measures within each available resources to achieve the progressive realization of each of these rights. That is Section 27, Section 2. The state must respect, protect, promote, fulfill, therefore, in my personal opinion, I feel as much as we need timber for our domestic use, I don't think if we were only confining the usage for the plantation, it would only serve we South Africans only. I don't think we'll be having this type of problem. But now the problem is that it's made for export, which real communities that have been removed from those things, respective federal lands, they don't need to be directly out of the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another thought-provoking submission. We'll take a slight change and invite Linda Mosso from SASCO as well. Linda, we've got SASCO before us, honourable member. SASCO, we're first going to speak to the Forest Act also. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And good morning to all members and people attending the meeting. On SASCO's side, we'd like to thank you very much for the invitation to discuss implementation and review the NFA. I'd like to upfront request an apology. I seem to have some bad flu. So if I'm not coming through clearly, it's probably from being rather bunged up. But we'd very much like to discuss the issues that have been put on the agenda for today. We'd like to start, I think, by congratulating the department on the implementation that has been achieved in terms of the NFA. The legislation is 10 years old and there's been considerable achievements of the NFA. What perhaps we'd like to do is to look at areas of the NFA where we think further implementation is necessary and perhaps even when more budget and resources need to be allocated. I'd also like, Madam Chair, to note that the image that the National Forest Act has abroad within the continent and internationally is seen as a piece of legislation which is very clear in its thinking, very specific in its actions, and which certainly the South African delegates to international meetings find to be something that they can engage around with many other colleagues around the world. A number of students come to the country to look at the NFA, and certainly I personally have been involved in making sure that the NFA reaches into areas where perhaps the legislative review is being held. I'd also like to note that there have been recent successes with GLAC playing the role of regulator in terms of, for instance, the recent prosecution of the yellowwood trees. There have been successes with the declarations of champion trees, declaration of trees and areas as protected. And these have been well covered in the media and helped to make the NFA known to people in the street and to make it a tangible piece of legislation. To note also the very good provisions that are present within the NFA with regard to access and use rights. But I think some areas we perhaps need to look at a shift of emphasis in order to promote the bigger developmental agenda. And I'm referring there, for instance, to research and community forestry provisions within the NFA. The NFA, to my mind, Madam Chair, offers us a number of possibilities, and it's up to us to take those possibilities and to make them happen, as it were. For instance, in terms of Section 5 of the NFA, there is a provision for the promotion of research by the department. And I think from a SACO point of view or a coalface point of view, we certainly are needing research which is not entirely silviculturally motivated or intent on ensuring that trees grow bigger and better and stronger or simpler, better, faster in other terminology, but action-oriented research which deals with socioeconomics and puts people and trees into a relationship in terms of which we can understand more about that relationship. And we believe, Madam Chair, that that's very important for rural development. So we would be advocating this research be action-oriented, that it be very much centered on the relationship between people and trees, people and plantations, people and forestry. Also, Madam Chair, with regard to community forestry, we believe that Chapter 4 of the NFA offers us a number of possibilities when we are dealing with community forestry. It does, for instance, allow for the minister to make financial or other assistance available for community forestry and other forms of forestry. And I think, Madam Chair, we need to know what kind of assistance is available, and then when interacting with communities especially, how do we access such assistance, and how do we make sure that it's complementary to developmental, other developmental funding. We believe, again, Madam Chair, that it's important for rural development, and also, and it's been mentioned by a previous speaker, land reform on forestry land is a major issue, and we are hoping within the SAFCO group that we are able to assist new landowners whose rights have been recognized by land reform to look at forestry as a land use which they may wish to continue with. And we believe, therefore, that this section of the NFA is vital because it can provide tools and mechanisms in terms of which people are able to be assisted to understand the forestry sector and to be able to engage in it. We're well aware that many people who lost their land and will now have it redressed to them perhaps have not been intimately involved in forestry activities but would like to be. And in terms of co-management models moving forward on restitution land, we would see this as being an important section that could assist in this regard. Also in this section of the NFA, we believe that there's a gold mine in terms of the community forestry agreement provision. And again, this may very well help us with regard to land reform and in joint ventures with neighbours. And we'd like perhaps that in terms of future implementation, that community forestry agreements come more to the fore. We are aware that work has been done in this regard, but perhaps this could be made more visible and accessible to people who are involved with this community question. And in Chair, in regard to assistance, we note that there are a variety of assistance mechanisms that are outlined in the National Forestry Act. And I think the challenge and the responsibility to us is to find out how, in fact, we can make sure that that assistance is in place and that it can be well known and easily accessible. Just to note the few forms of assistance that are detailed in that chapter, there's financial and material assistance. And to note, and it accords with the point made by the Chair, including recovery from disaster, so it also includes the interaction with fires, with the Salt and Forestry Act. So there's possibility for assistance where we're talking about recovery from disaster, which in this country must mean fires, it must mean pests. Those are possibilities that the NFA holds for us. Other kind of information, a kind of assistance which could be made available is information, training, advice, management, extension services, the maintenance and the establishment of nurseries to provide seeds and plants for community forestry. And we would submit from SAFCO's side, Madam Chair, that the provision of these listed items would go a long way to making sure that new landowners are supplied with the necessary mechanisms to move forward in a forestry context. In terms of Chapter 5, Madam Chair, where we're looking at the institutions which the National Forestry Act kindly provides for us, I think it's a point that the National Forestry Advisory Council perhaps needs to be more visible in its action. We're well aware that they meet regularly and that, in fact, they have two subcommittees, one on access and the other on sustainable forest management. But it might be of help in making sure that the implementation of the NFA is visible if a construct such as the NFAC was more visible and well known. Within the industry and within the wider public. In terms of Chapter 6, Madam Chair, which deals with the administration of the Act, we are aware that the making of regulations in terms of the Act is ongoing. It has been a long time that has been taken to make the regulations, but more important than the time, I think, is the need to have these known throughout the industry so that people are well aware of the regulations in terms of the Act. and I'm sure that that's an action that the department is busy with. We note also, Madam Chair, the Amendment Act, which have taken place after 1998, and believe that those have helped to refine the original Act to direct the Act in a more focused manner. And I think that the department is to be congratulated on those amendments to the Act, which have given greater precision and allowed for more actions and more directed actions. I think, Madam Chair, in closing, and I'm very mindful of your time, we should congratulate the department on the achievements it's made within the Act. Thank you.
Thank you very much, can I ask all of you that have got the anniversary submission, if you can just make sure that you pass it on to the committee secretary, because we need to put it into the record of this proceeding. Allow you to copy it or something, just so that you can have it. But thank you very much. I think we still busy with a very thought-provoking submission. I'm going to take the last one, and not for now, but just the last one, to allow members to interact. And then I think we can take it from there. Let me just see the second one. I think I'm told that we're going to switch to another language with the next presenter. And I want to find out from the interpreter if you're going to do it at the same time or... Are we going to have simultaneous? Because we don't have it space. This will take up a lot of our time, if you think. Can I ask that that mic be switched off, please, Ms. Moffat? Let's see how we can do. Do I have it right with Mbali Chere from the Burundi Women's Organization?
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, ma'am. The floor is yours.
Okay, into engingayibalula, especially ngiphuma kuleyo area ekanjalo.
Switch on the mic there.
Ngiyacabanga ukuthi i-speaker sokuqala siyosayikhuluma indaba especially kwi-area uma uya ngapha ngakomhluka ngendlela amanzi ashoda ngakhona. Lapho sithola ukuthi iy'ndawo zomile azinawo amanzi, nabantu ukuthi bathole amanzi sithole ukuthi kuba nzima.
Trying to get
some water, but they can't. Okay, kuzoba inkinga futhi esiba nayo ukuthi abantu when it comes to indaba zamanzi abathayinekile kahle, and then ukuthi amanzi singawa lento singawagcina kanjani.
People there are not educated as to how they can keep water clean. They've never been trained to do so. They know nothing about keeping clean water.
No, kuthi futhi abantu, especially abesifazane, sibathola ukuthi ulwazi oluningi abalidingayo abalitholi ngesikhathi, nokuthi bangazithuthukisa kanjani bona ezintweni eziningi. Sangaba nemisebenzi eminye abayenzayo sethole ukuthi abaqeqeshekile kahle njengoba besifika.
Most of the women in the households are not trained even to develop themselves. They are not educated. They need a lot of training to know as to how they can develop themselves concerning preservation of water.
Okunye ngiyacabanga ukuthi uspeaker uLinda Masopo uye wakubala ngezinto ezibalwayo kwi-Earth ukuthi siyadinga kakhulu njengabantu besifazane ukunikezwa ulwazi. Siyadinga futhi nokuthi usizo olukhona olubalwa umnyango sazi ukuthi simthola kanjani ukuze sikwazi nokuthi sivikele nawo amahlathi ukuthi azivikele kanjani
as we come as people. As women, we need to know.
Those foundations could benefit our people if it is utilized. I don't think one needs to go into what timber could do for the development of our country. Now, I think one presenter referred to the building of dams. It's true that large dams, one is not on the term, should we build small or large dams? But no, large dams have environmental problems, but I think dams are necessary because we are a water scarce country. So that is something which I think needs some elaboration. But the last speaker, the last presenter, referred to the question of no water. Well, it is not to what extent, because I mean, in terms of the competition, I think everyone is guaranteed potable water. But when one says that there's no water at all, I think there should be more elaboration. That whether, because you know the government has given free basic water, potable water for all, and we'd like to know to in what way when one says that there's no water, we would like to understand that, because I think it is a responsibility of both, and it's a responsibility in terms of the competition itself. So therefore, I think we should get more information about that. Now, we talk, and the presenter also said that people are ignorant about water quality and so on. But I think the dwarf has got quite a lot of literature. So it seems to me that that literature is not reaching our people. So that is another matter which we have to look into. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Mine is actually, I just wanted to maybe to find out from whether the first speaker from Malanga, when you were saying that, is this land timber really saving the people, actually, those plantations? I was also thinking that maybe now we're trying to review actually this act as well, is it actually giving a positive indication to the rural poor people on the ground, as well, are they going to actually do something with regard to that? I need also to ask as to whether is the speaker maybe viewing this as maybe something that is not also going to help the people on the ground, because I was also thinking that if those disadvantaged poor people are given the right also to have some shares in those timber plants or to make their own plantations, maybe he's got a problem with that. So I need also to find out from him as to if he is actually saying that all those people mustn't actually be groomed in that direction. And another one is with regard to the second speaker from Union Guys. He correctly said that water is actually it's a right for all the people to have access to water as a constitution. Yes, and it's also actually showing the impact, the negative impact that has been done on ecology by the expansion of the plantations across our country. So I just wanted to find out that is it only the plantation that is actually causing the problem? And if what about those people who actually are receiving land? Are they actually using the land productively to their own advantage? And I also need also to ask the last speaker, Malikele. When she was saying that there are no water in their land, especially around Mtua, my question to her is it because of more plantations around those communities that is causing that problem? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think it is clear. One brings back to the outcry by the late Comrade Maboya Kole regarding the timber. That timber plantation, you know, it was benefiting a very few people.
that there is a lot of timber like he used to say that in KZN, but you will always see trucks carrying timbers leaving the places, but the people around those areas are getting poorer and poorer and poorer. Now, Chairperson, according to the the information that we got today, that tells you that if timber then does not benefit people financially, that it still gets carried away and it's used as an income for a few people. But the very people that live around the even and the people that are the landowners, the rightful landowners of those areas, and they are not benefiting. But at the same time now, timber is also causing problems of scarcity of water. Then really we are having and we are faced by a problem which we think that then dwarf will have to really look at it. And the other question was that whether it is really eradicating poverty. If it is not benefiting people financially, and it still also still water, except the land, now the water as well gets carried away also or being scarcity, and to the very rural women that should be carrying water now on their heads or wheelbarrows as we saw last time, then we are faced by a real problem. And the other one is on the last presenter about the women, the chairperson. If women are not informed and they are not trained, then we have a problem. So they are the ones that are faced by water problems on a daily basis. Comes to cleaning the houses, comes to sending the babies, comes to cooking and washing. They are the ones. And if they are not informed and trained, then we have a real problem, which I think that we should really discuss.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My first question is directed to Mbali Cele. When you're indicating to us that there is no training or information with regard on how to keep water clean, I'm not definitely sure because the Department of Water Affairs and Department of Health. I was saying, my first question is with regards to the director to Mbali Cele from KZN, if I'm not mistaken. She indicated to us that there is no training or any kind of assistance from government with regards to training on how to keep water clean. I'm not definitely sure whether it is true. Why I'm saying that is precisely because I know that there are problems, there are programs that are run by Department of Water Affairs and Health in trying to educate people about how to keep water clean. But you can elaborate to us today what is he trying to say, because this is there over the radio now and again, and when there are water weeks, they do promote those programs. The second issue, Chairperson, is directed to Sun Park with regards to the community assistance from them. Okay. If you can indicate to us in which areas where they have managed to assist those communities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to ask, I can't remember the names and the list of names of the presenters. Seems to be a bit mixed up. For the first presenter, it's from Mpumalanga. I just want to know, you asked the question as to who does forest plantations, who does it really, plantation forestry, who does it really benefit, and is it really poverty alleviation, does it really alleviate poverty? But you seem to also insinuate or say that there shouldn't be forestry, and you gave a whole number of reasons as to why you believe that it's, that it's rather harmful to the environment. To that, I wanted to ask you, don't you think rather that we should look at the specifics of the problem as to, so that we can then answer the question as to who it benefits? Shouldn't we look at if it is not benefiting, for instance, the people that we want it to benefit, how to remedy that, right? And shouldn't we say, rather than no forestry at all, that we should be more careful as to where it's established, so it doesn't have the kind of impact that you say it has, you see? Because what I've picked up is that you ask this question, but you're also saying no forest. So I'm saying, why aren't we rather more specific as to deal with the problem? The second presenter chairperson, December, I think, is his name. He alludes to the fact that it would be much better for us to cultivate forestry only for domestic consumption, right? I just want to ask him whether he's taken, in making that statement, has he taken cognizance of the fact that of plantation forestry is quite a big industry and it's been built up over a number of years and are providing jobs to quite large numbers of people. Although there is still quite a big problem in terms of ownership, and that, you know, previously disadvantaged people don't necessarily own plantations, but that it does indeed create jobs, and those jobs are both on the back of export. Okay. Now, if you say cut it down to a level to where we produce only for domestic consumption, we also have advice as to how we will deal with the fallout in terms of job losses, etc. Because quite a sizable portion of the industry will actually go down if we stop exporting. Right? Once again, Chairperson, I think it deals with the specificity problem, that you have to really look at the specifics to overcome the problem. But SACCO, I just wanted to know that in the light of government objective to afforest vast areas in Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal. And my belief is that the aim is to do this within the parameters of the forestry charter so that we can really be effective in use forestry effectively in terms of broad-based economic empowerment. I wanted to ask SEFCO, what role do you see for yourself, SFCO, in this rollout? What role do you think you can play, SFCO? Thanks, Jason.
So that is a soft question on the island. I thought you were going to come to the real question.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
You didn't want to. Okay. Thank you for those questions. Let me just add the following to everyone. Having heard what all of you said, can I ask to all of you, currently the Forest Act has got a number of objectives. And within the objectives of the Act, it speaks to sustainable management and development of forests for the benefit for all, not some, for all. It says we need to have conditions in such a way to restructure the forest, the state forestry. There must be special provisions to protect the forest and obviously the trees. But we must also make sure that whatever we do it in such a way that we look at the environment, we take care of the economy in the country, And of course, we look at a range of other things, which include cultural aspects. I think somebody mentioned the impact on medicinal use, spiritual purposes, obviously, but also very importantly, the aspects to recreation. Now, there's quite a fundamental a policy position in the Act that speaks to communities and communal forests. And then importantly, it says that we need to seek redress and seek redress through greater participation and also the products and in particular take care of disadvantage and make sure that there's no unfair discrimination. Having said all of that, can I ask all of you the question? That's the purpose of the Act. And if that is the purpose of the Act, everything that I heard you saying then speaks to the opposite of the Act. Do you feel that we need to make amendments to the Act, and what would be those amendments, taking into consideration the issues that you have raised with the difficulties that are there? I do appreciate the fact that you're pointing out the link between forest and water management. But I think you've got to help us in saying how in the legislation, other than what is there, maybe not sufficient, well, it speaks to water issues in the Forest Act also, a little bit more in the other acts. How do you think we need to address that? And may I lastly ask, does the Act speak sufficiently to new economic activities, for example, in the instance of, I know in some parts of the country, there were some initiatives on hemp. Does the Act take into consideration, now this is the legal part of using, I'm not going to say the word, but does the Act speak sufficiently to new forms of economic activity out of forest products? So, can I ask whoever was last to answer first? That would be the speaker from KZN. Would you like to answer any questions that were posed to yourself? And then we'll talk to the rest.
Okay, ngiyabonga. Mayelana nendaba yokuthi kuneyindawo emaphandleni ezingenawo amanzi. Isikakhulukazi sikhulumela endabeni yokuthi kunemhosha or ukuthini ama-streams angaklinekile kahle ukuthi mayehla lawo manzi eya ezindaweni la okufanele ukuthi abantu baphuze khona. Uthole ukuthi abantu abasakwazi ukwasebenzisa lawo manzi ngenxa yokungcola okuhamba kwehlele khona. Okuwukuthi umnyango besicela ukuthi isikakhulukazi ma kufika kwindaba ya-working for water, ngoba sinalo ulwazi lokuthi working for water uyasebenza ezintweni ezinjalo, ukuthi mhlawumbe kube khona i-improvement kulawo ma-areas. Bese umbuzo owesibili engiwukhumbulayo ukukhuluma ngendaba ye-training yokugcina kwamanzi ethini.
Thank you. For the many rural areas without water, it is our plea that at least these friends that lead to the people who need water the most, let them clean them and tell people how to clean them. And also the department, especially working for water projects, we also need some improvements in the projects that we are doing within the area. Thank you.
Okay, umbuzo wesibili kumayelana nendaba yamanzi aclean. Yebo, ngiyavuma ukuthi i-department ye-health iyaqeqesha ngendaba yamanzi. kodwa isikakhulukazi endaweni ezisemaphandleni inkinga ku-Department of Health isikakhulukazi bakhuluma ngamanzi asempompini and emakhaya kufuyiwe iy'nkomo ney'mbuzi ziphuza wona la manzi lawa angahlanzekile ingakho-ke sikhulumela kona lokho ukuthi sengathi umnyango ungasinadala lapho ukuthi abantu baqeqesheke kakhulu ngoba iy'mbuzi ney'nkomo zithole ukuthi mhlawumbe ziyagula kanti siyazisebenzisa elende emakhaya ezokudla.
Yes, I agree that there is some project from the Department of Health, but the problem is that although they give the training, but they are talking about the tap water, not the water that is flowing within the springs and rivers. Also, our livestock, like goats and our cattle, they use this very dirty water, and they end up being sick and insane. So we plead that even the Department of Health should come and make sure that the projects are solely concerned with the cleaning of this water that can be also be used by our livestock in our area. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think what we'll do with that answer, I think we'll have to get a bit of more information precisely on some of the issues that you raised. So please don't leave with your name and where you are and so on, so that we can direct you to the relevant people in the province where you are to address those issues that you are raising. Ms. Wilson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair, the questions that I've been asked are very helpful. With regard to the question about where we've had success, I think we have had limited success and we're hoping to have increased success working with communities in the Mpumalanga, Limpopo area, which is where our main operating subsidiary Kumasi Land Forest is located. We're working closely with the land claims commissioners in those provinces, as well as with the Office of the Chief Land Claims Commissioner to ensure that there's certainly a movement of information and hopefully in the future there'd be greater cooperation between SAFCOL and new landowners. With regard to the role in new afforestation, that really is a political question that's outside of my mandate. It would be a question that our custodian department, DPE, and the guardian of water, of forestry, DWAF, would need to agree on. But just to note that we have operations in Mozambique, with a former parastatal sold 80% of their company to SAFCOL, and that was done in 2004. And we then rehabilitated and replanted plantations which had been severely decimated by the Civil War and its aftereffects. And we have been able to create more than 500 jobs in the Afloma operations. So it's certainly a skill that we believe we possess. But whether we would be the vehicle that would be chosen to assist in afforestation would be for the Department of Public Enterprises, with whom we have a shareholders compact to actually determine. With regard to the question of whether, in fact, there are amendments necessary to the Act, especially to take into account new produce or new objectives, and this is a personal opinion, it's not a SAFCOL opinion. I'm of the belief that the NFA, as it is in its present form, is largely all-encompassing enough to allow for a lot of activity to take place. What I was trying to convey, and I hope I managed to in my presentation, is that there may be shifts of emphasis and there may be needs for the department to be supported in teasing out certain activities which are already legislatively catered for in the Act to ensure that there's greater extension, there's greater assistance to new landowners who may wish to, or who elect to carry on with forestry. I believe the definitions within the Act would cover things like hemp, new activities. What would need to happen, obviously, is that the strategic plan would have to shift in favor of new activities like extension services becoming a guiding light or a great objective for the department. And obviously, once the Strathclyde has shifted the MTF funding and the resources that would be needed to carry out those new activities would need to follow. Thank you.
Last question for my diplomatic answer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In regard to the other question concerning the loss of jobs that our pro communities will face if they close down, if they don't do export anymore. I'm not so sure, Mr. Arik, but what I know from my community is that the people that are working in this timber plantation, there is one called Vuka Ramana. It's not long that they've been operating. For sure it's the last 2 or 3 or 5 years. People that are earning below 1,000 rand. So they are paying more than 8 rand when they go to job, single trip, and then another 8 rand when they come back. So in my own understanding, I believe that kind of a scenario is more giving our people problems than alleviating poverty. Because at the end of the day, month ending, you find that particular person is left with few cents. You can't even do anything with that. So, yes, it's two mining, timber mining that I know. It's Bukaramanas and Masakane Forest. They earn below 1,000. And the people that are working there are from my community. Because at one stage, I was asked to arrange a group of people who wanted to go there to work. So I was very, 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 very disappointed when they came there because they had to. How much do they raise to pay, and then it's equal to nothing at the end of the day, because it gives you more problems, because you think like you're working, then you're going to get something, at the end of the month there's nothing that you get. Or the few cents that you can't even buy your own payment. Thank you.
Madam Chair. The first question which seems to be touching everyone is first the question who's benefiting or who is the land really benefiting? You see, from all these speakers and presenters, one thing which is very clear, I'm glad that even my friend yes, of course, I think there's not been much achievement. We are yet to find a community where they are planting timber conditions who are better off because they are involved in this business. So the problems are overwhelming associated with this. I've outlined the whole lot. So we are saying as much as people have got the land, which is the resource they have, but in terms of just imagine if you're sitting there, you're a subsistence farmer, you then plant this gum or pine, which you wait for 10 or 20 years before you harvest. What do you eat within those? You have got to rely on grocery shops. You need money to do that. So we are saying it's not a sustainable way to use the resource, which is the land. And the government needs to be very careful. Hence, I even said suggestion: a thorough environmental management plan or environmental strategy plan needs to be done prior to make sure if the government believes that it is the way to go, they've got to make sure
because already we see that the people engaged in this, they are not benefiting. I'm glad that we do have the Honorable Lady over there mentioned the case that can an example where Comrade Mabia could say, try to leave those communities every day. But people are getting poorer and poorer. People have lost the water, they've lost the grassland. If you have to go up to Northern Zululand, where those ladies come from, and look at where the livestock are grazing. Mm-hmm. If they have driven along the side of the road, which is a few meters between the road, the highway, and the forest, people lose grassland. They have nothing. I remember when these forests were burning, plantations that were not forests. When these plantations were caught in fire last year, one reporter on the newspaper said, but no animals have been affected. It was ironical. What animals? Because the plantations have got no grasslands. Grasslands disappear under those pines and the gum plantations. So no animals are supposed to be in the forest because there is nothing for them. So it's rightfully so. So, and then as a result, livestock end up grazing near along the roads where they end up being hit by the bypassing traffic. So we are saying, as it is now in our country, there are communities. So I'm coming now to the objectives, Madam Chair. I think I do see that one of is creating capacity and initiating community policy projects. So creating and so for me, I would like to see an expansion of that, or the analysis of that, being looking first for what existing areas where this thing has taken place. Why don't we first look into those areas? What are the problems? What can be done to improve the situation there? Because there are problems already in existence of areas that have been under timber plantation on communal land. And on communal land is a very attractive deal for our SACO, SAPI and Mondi, because they don't have to buy the land. All they have to buy those logs from those communities there. And then, so it's a very nice deal. And that's why KZN and Eastern Cape are being targeted, because it's communal land. They will go in there, they don't have to buy land. They will just sign a deal with the communities. And unfortunately, the people are being given one-sided story of the benefits of the roads, of the schools that will be built, not outlining the problem, the impact this is going to have on the livelihoods of those people. And we are saying this is not the best option for the use of the land in those areas. So people are not, unfortunately, BLEF is not giving people alternatives. Of course, BLEF's mandate is to plant these plantations. They're not going to talk agriculture with me. But we are saying that land should be identified can be better utilized to benefit those people better than what we are saying now. So for me, in terms of objectives, if we were to look at the existing areas and make sure that the model, this beautiful golden model, which is being portrayed in this National Forest Act, be therefore applied to those areas we already have problems. Two, I'm saying those areas, people who are claiming back their land, getting back their land, which is already under plantation, these new deals which are being propagated by this Forest Act, let them be applied there. Let's see the result before we start targeting other areas. And then as well, people must be given a full picture. Let's identify and address the problems which are there in those areas where already people are. And then, for instance, the social community wants to visit those areas and really see the suffering that people are subjected to due to this mobilization before we actually push this to say it is ahead, it is the way to go. Let's really go down to the people where these forests are taking place and see and remedy the situation there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm sure one of the members has got follow-up with all of them, but can I ask you to just hold them, because they've really just got the last three, and then I'm sure if there are any questions back to the other group, we can do that. Okay. Thank you very much. I must say that we continue to have very thought-provoking issues here, but now we're going to move on to Zotwa. Global, I think that we're going to require interpretation there also. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And Global will be followed by Nandiwe, who said Sah. And then it's Dwa. Other people here?
So ngiyabingelela kumadentifisi ngibonga inhlangano enhlanganeni nawo namhlanje ngike ngaba senhlanganweni kade sicele uDwaf kade sicele uDwaf ngoJulayi uJulayi uDwaf usice sivaleke amehlo sizimpumputhi
saying questions and saying that thank you for me to be available in this type of a meeting. I just want to say that I was invited in July to a draft meeting.
It was draft on Saturday 19 July. Uma ngibuya khona ngathola ukuthi ngivuleke amehlo nezandla zami zaqaqeka.
When coming back, I discovered that my eyes were opened anew and my hands were just We met with other women like me.
So most of us sixoxa ngendaba esithole kwaDwaf ukuthi uDwaf njengoba sibikelile ukuthi ezixakekile singabafazi abahluphile.
We told Dwaf that we are women, the most disadvantaged women. We are just desperate.
UDwaf usitshele indlela elula ukuthi thina njengoba sibadala singafundile. Yinye into azosisiza ngayo uDwaf ukuthi thina masizifunele thina imisebenzi.
Dwaf told us that because we are just illiterate, nobody will help us. We are supposed to stand up and look for the job
ourselves.
Dwaf told us that we must plant the very small plantation. And when these plants are growing up, we are supposed to sell them to our brothers. Having nurtured these plants to grow up, we are supposed to also sell them back to Dwaf. Having been bought them from Dwaf, we sell them back to Dwaf. So that we are able to sustain our lives, because in KwaZulu Natal there is a lot of poverty. We need training from the organization of women from which I come. We need training solely. I come from a family where we do have a forest, the one we've been living on. So my mother is now 89 years old. She's no longer able to produce anything from this very forest. So there is a problem again. We still suffer because we cannot help herself. Anyone comes to this forest and cuts whatever wood he needs because we are not trained as to how are we going to protect it against those people who want to use it anyhow.
Amehlo ngivulekile nje ngaphaphama nengqondo yami ngiyayezi ukuthi iyanyakaza njengomfazi kodwa okade exakekile nje sibona yena ukuthi u-right kanti akekho right kodwa inkinga enkulu ngidinga i-training.
I thank Dwaf so much because my eyes are really opened. I never knew a lot of things, so we really need Dwaf to train us. So, for instance,
ikhona indawo
kuyinkulu
lapho ngiqhamuka khona njengoba ngisho ukuthi ngizalwa le emakhaya abazali bami indawo inkulu kabi ngizwile omunye ngithi uqhama kosaikho ngizwile ngathi ukuthi ulayini nami loyo ngizalwa ngakhona
From where I come, there's a lot of land. I heard somebody saying that he's coming from Psyche. I'm coming from that very area. So there's a lot of land there to be utilized. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Can I ask Lindy to take
up to also address that? Thank you. Ngimbingelela umphathi ohloniphekile umama hlala mhamba emnambithi ngizoqala nje ngivele emnambithi ngizombonga udwafu okokuqala ungilethela ukuba ngizoveza imidlalo bethu nokuqhuphela kwethu emnambithi emnambithi singomama.
Firstly, I thank Dwarf for having brought us here. So I'm coming from Ladysmith. Ladysmith is the place that I'm still going to explain.
Singo mama abaphithizayo ngoba bayahlupheka silambile.
We are the women who walk up and down. We are hungry, we are starving, we are just desperate, we are poor.
Kodwa uDoctor umehluko omkhulu empilweni zethu.
There is a great difference that has been made by Dwarf in our life.
Endabeni yamahlathi ezocela ukungena kuyo kakhulu.
Talking about forestation or the forest.
Amahlathi sinawo.
We do have forest.
Yasuse ngekhathi zobandlululo ey'ndaweni zethu wahlala akhula amahlathi.
We were removed or evicted from the places we were brought up. We were removed there and when we were no longer there, this forest grew up.
Sawashiyelwa abazali bethu.
People left this forest to us. Our parents left this forest to us.
Because of
poverty, we just handed ourselves to Dwarf.
Dwarf
told us that you can make a living out of this forest. What is very much important is that we know nothing about them. We live in a very, very dry place. We also cut these forests and make some fires because we know nothing how to preserve or keep them well. I request Dwarf that he must never be discouraged to help us because this is the only way we are going to survive. Dwarf should never leave us just in the wilderness when he has finished assisting us.
Kukhona ukuthi unike ingane efunde preschool u-R50 imali yokhera.
Sometimes you give a R50 to a preschool child of yours.
Leyo ngane ayizokwenza lutho leyo R50 ngoba ayazi lutho ngemali.
That cat cannot use that money properly because he or she doesn't know about money.
Ngiqonda ukuthi ke uDwarf mayesisiza angasiniki imali athi asiyiphilise ngayo asenze umsebenzi lapha engatrainile engakufundisile ukuthi leyo mazisi ngihla kanjani ukuze sikwazi ukuthi siphile ngoba impilo yini.
What I mean is that even if Dwarf gives us some financial resources, he must never just give us these financial resources and just leave us. Dwarf should educate us, train us, and give us the directions to how we're going to utilize this money fruitfully. These forests are very useful to us because we also build our bonfires at home. We thatch our houses through this forest. Through ignorance, we sometimes do things wrongly. This is the way of a wife or a woman in a home. We take the logs from this very forest and build some houses in our household using the very forest of ours. Shortly, I request Dwarf to train us to be able to survive through this forest until we are able to be independent financially. Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Ma.
I thought I must just assist in this regard. We requested especially a number of women in particular to come to Parliament to speak to the issues of forestry for very many reasons, but of course it's Women's Month. And we are of the view that women in particular, we would be extremely biased towards that need to benefit her from the forest. So it is not Dwarf that brought you here. We must just make that separation with the department and ourselves. As Parliament, we have asked to come here and speak to us about the legislation and how this legislation is helping or not helping, and if not, you know, what changes do we need to make to benefit everyone in the country with regard. So I thought I must just make that as a correction, because I could see the DDG was really wondering which money was it that earlier. Thank you very much for that. I do think, honourable members, that quite a number of the presentations that were made here today speaks about equity or the absence of equity. And have we been able to bring about redress sufficiently in the forest industry, and how the legislation must then speak to that. Can I ask the DDG to talk to us about the implementation of the Act, and also we would be extremely happy if the department can tell us where are the challenges in the implementation of this Act. And as Dwarf did last week, they alluded to us what are the likely changes that they would want to make. So in this instance, I think we would be extremely happy if you can do that. But can you take the opportunity at the same time also, besides your own presentation, to speak to the issues that came out here today and provide some answers to that also? That will bring us to the end of the session, honourable members. I think we're still doing fine with the time. We can engage after door with the presentation.
Good morning, Madam Chair, honourable members, invited guests, and colleagues. Chairperson, we are from the department. I'm with Ms. Lukiso Adam from Legal Services. Bulilo Kelly, Pia Carroll, Nomfundo Mhaga, and Zakele Songwani, our parliamentary officers. We will be making a presentation on the Act. The presentation will cover the provisions of the Act,
point out what successes we have had as a department, and also point out as well to the portfolio committee and the other invited guests what challenges are we facing in the implementation of the Act. As a start, Chairperson, I just want to point out that listening to the previous submissions was indeed thought-provoking, but I just also want to make the committee and the invited guests aware that plantation forestry only covers 1% of the total land surface of the country. So in terms of land use, it is quite minimal if we look at the percentage in question. Using this 1%, we are able to employ more than 150,000 people as a sector, and we are able to generate income to the level of 15 billion rands per annum. So it's quite substantive. I will now go into the provisions of the Act. As indicated earlier on, we're looking at Act number 84 of 1998, which was subsequently amended. The Act itself is very clear, as the Chair was pointing out, it is based on the provisions of the Constitution, and by intention, it is for environmental protection and for the benefit of the present generation as well as the benefit of future generations. The Act covers the provisions that protect and allow for the use of natural forests as well as woodlands. And in the case of South Africa, we need to add that there's also a significant size of what we refer to as plantation forestry. So most of the time in the presentation, I will talk about natural forests or what other people refer to as indigenous forests. I will also refer to woodlands. I will also refer to plantations. The Act itself, without going into details, is premised on the white paper on sustainable forest management, which was written in 1996. As pointed out by the previous speaker, it's quite a progressive framework of legislating the use of a natural resource. I will not go into the details of the white paper. I will go straight ahead to the provisions of the Act. What I will do, Chairperson, is to take it chapter by chapter, and at the end of each chapter, I will try and point out what successes do we have as a department and what are the outstanding challenges in this regard. Starting with Chapter 1 and 2, Chapter 1 is a straightforward chapter which deals with the introductory provisions. Chapter 2 deals with sustainable forest management, referring to management, research, monitoring, and reporting. I will skip that chapter and go straight ahead to what progress have we made with regard to Chapter 1 and 2 of the Act. In terms of Chapter 2 of the Act, to date, we can report to the committee that the department has succeeded in developing criteria and indicators for sustainable forest management. They have been gazetted and have been subjected to public comment. We as a department have also gone a step ahead and are using the criteria and indicators in question as a guiding tool in managing our own state forests. The challenge that we might have here is that the department may not necessarily have the capacity or be ready to be able to adhere to the criteria and indicators. With regard to research, Chairperson, you may recall that last year the department was able to table a state of forest report, and this was acknowledged by Parliament. We do have an existing plan when it comes to research and monitoring. It has been developed and it is available. The challenge is the actual implementation. Looking at Chapter 3, which provides for special measures to protect forests and trees, it has already been indicated that the department is doing quite well in this area. I've gone to the slide that deals with progress to date. When it comes to protection of trees,
what we do as a department is that for people to have access or to use trees, they require a license. So there is a regulatory mechanism. The licensing process is well established and it's implemented. And you might recall, Chairperson, that Southcoll mentioned that we did have a successful litigation in a case where people harvested without a license being granted. What we have done also as a department, which we see as progress, is that we have clearly published the list of what are natural forests, and these are known, and the information is available to members of the public. When it comes to protected areas, the department has gazetted the intention to declare the following two areas as protected areas. In the Northern Cape, we have gazetted the declaration of Katu Forest as a protected woodland. In the Limpopo, where we have the development of the Big Dihuo Dam, a certain area has been set aside as a protected area, and this will be gazetted. Furthermore, Chairperson, when it comes to the protection of trees, we do this quite well. There is an existing national list of protected trees. We also have a list of what we call champion trees, and this is an activity that we do annually as a department. In terms of measures to control and remedy deforestation, the Act, Chairperson, provides for enabling provisions that allow us to be able to deal with this matter. But we can point out that to date we haven't been called to act and use this provision of the Act. Chapter 4 of the National Forest Act deals with the use of forests. Here, Chair, we're talking about access for recreation and related purposes. And we're talking about vesting and granting of rights for the use of state forests. We're talking about community forestry, an issue that has been referred to by the previous speakers in their submissions. We do have progress to report in this regard. When it comes to access for recreation and related purposes, Chair, we can report that we do have the guidelines, we do have the rules, we do have the maps for all state forests. These are readily available. The second part of that chapter that deals with vesting and granting of rights to use state forests. Again, in terms of economic development, a lot has been done here because we continually issue licenses if they are required. And historically, we do have the existing lease agreements that were signed previously. They are listed there. A lease was signed with Singisi Forest in the Eastern Cape, Amatole Forest also in the Eastern Cape, Mountain to Ocean in the Western Cape, and Siyalkubeka in KwaZulu-Natal. What we are working on is to make sure that every time an agreement is signed, we don't do this alone as a department. We adhere to the Act, and we do work with the Department of Land Affairs, Public Works, and the Ingonyama Trust in KwaZulu-Natal. The only area that remains a challenge is that, Chairperson, to date we have collected more than 100 million rands of money or funds that are due to communities, but we are unable to disperse this money until the Department of Land Affairs has confirmed who are the rightful beneficiaries. In terms of community forests or use of forests for communities, we can report that the department has developed a model constitution that can be used, and currently we are in the process of signing an agreement with a community in the Eastern Cape so that they can then be given the right to manage a local forest. Chapter 5, Chairperson, deals with the institutions. We can report the following progress. We do have the National Forest Advisory Council. It is fully functional. It meets 4 times a year, and every time it has a meeting as a council, they are able to provide advice to the minister. We are also successful in this area because the minister does meet when necessary with the National Forest Advisory Council. In addition to the council, we also have, Chair, what we refer to as the National Forest Recreation and Access Trust. Previously, this was referred to as the National Hiking Way Fund, which has now been converted, and to date, the fund has got about 3 million rand. I must admit that as a department, it remains a challenge because we have not as yet found a successful way of dispersing the money and using the funds. So, but listening to the submissions this morning, I am hopeful that we will be able to utilize this money for the benefit of the community. The Chapter 6 of the Act deals with the administration matters, general powers, duties of the minister, duties of the director general, and so on. To date, what has happened in terms of progress, the minister has delegated some of her responsibilities to the National Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism. SANPAS in the Western Cape is managing some of the state forests on behalf of the Minister of Water, Affairs and Forestry. We are also in the process of making sure that we adhere to the Constitution, by making sure that the indigenous forests are assigned or delegated to state agencies in Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal. Also, the Act makes provision that we should issue regulations. It's been a very slow process, but at this stage, we do now have the regulations ready for approval by the minister, and they will be gazetted. Chapter 7, Chapter 10 deals with offenses and penalties, actual enforcement. In terms of progress, we do have forest officers that are responsible for enforcement, and we are also making sure that we get a policy that clearly spells out what needs to be done in terms of compliance and enforcement. I will skip Chapter 9 because it provides for administrative measures and get to the real issues, whether indeed the act can be reviewed or not. As a department, we would like to submit the following for your consideration. The following areas have been highlighted as areas that could be possibly amended, but we just need to say that it's a matter that is yet to be considered by the minister. The first area that requires attention is a matter of definition. How do we define natural forest? What do we mean when we say something is a woodland? It's got to be clear and inclusive. And in addition to being clear and inclusive, it has to be in line with regional and international provisions. The second area that requires attention is promotion and enforcement for sustainable forest management. The third area is protection of trees. As I pointed out earlier on, we do this on an annual basis. Administratively, we think it's something that can be done every 5 years and not necessarily annually. It's mainly an administrative and cost-saving measure in this regard. The next area that requires attention is measures to control and remedy deforestation, as well as administration, just mainly to make sure that as a department we do adhere to the provisions of the Constitution that spell out very clearly that managing forests is a concurrent competency. So for now, it's mainly the national ministry that is doing the work. The provinces have not been given the opportunity to do so. The last area, Chairperson, that might require amendment is matters of enforcement. The Act could be amended to provide the minister with powers to be able to issue directives, to be able to prescribe certain issues such as the qualifications of forest officers, and be able to deal with matters of penalties where people do not comply with the Act. Having said that, Chairperson, you had requested that maybe I do respond to some of the submissions that were made earlier on. I am not at this point going to directly respond, but just to point out that as a department, we've taken note of all the issues that were raised in the submissions, and in doing our work, we will make sure that we pay attention to what has been pointed out. I can, however, respond directly to the issue of the Forestry Steward Council. The area
earlier submission was around the concern that in terms of the Steward Council, South Africa seems to be subjecting itself to internationally defined ways of managing this issue. We can report to the portfolio committee that we have started a process where we'll be able to come up with a national certification program. The other issue that maybe I can respond to is the matter of how do we assist communities. We are in the process of getting additional resources to be able to appoint forestry extension officers that can then work with the communities and provide them with the support that they require. With that, Chairperson, thank you very much.
New definition that you, the review of the NFA, that slide, what is new definition? It's this contestation forward, continuity, you know, about what is important, you know. People are saying a plantation, not a forest, right? And there's always this argument in the
system.
Not only the members, but when people present, you know, and especially in the Committee of Environment Affairs, I'm sure that people say, why do you refer to a Department of Forestry, for instance, when a dwarf also deals with commercial plantations and commercial plantations is not a forest? I wanted to ask whether this definition, if indeed you get the interest Will it answer that question finally? And this is the last point I wanted to make. It flows out of the earlier presentation. Of course, the CBG is correct. In terms of land use, the amount of land use of forestry, it is used. If you look at it in the background of the overall land size of the country. But although it's just 1%, it seems to still be negative effect of the 1% under forestation. I earlier said that maybe we should look at the specifics of the problem and maybe deal with it in that way. I wondered maybe if you could maybe speak to that, because from what we've heard and have heard before, not just in this meeting, although we're looking at, we can sense quite correct, it's just 1% is planted there. That 1% is coming in, not all in, are actually also creating a problem.
And mine was also similar to that one, that the BBG means that 1% can never cause damage. if 1% can cause a huge damage, what percentage are we waiting for to cause bigger damage then? And whether when last the department then do some research around the issues that are raised here of a plantation, you know, timber plantation causing all of the overdue.
issue with the protocol community. If I'm to take it from the previous presenter here, they are having forests in the area which are not benefiting them, then I would like to know from the department as to whether they are aware of the fact that most of the people who are shareholders in most of the forest are people coming out of distant areas rather than the people who are near the plantation themselves. The communities do not benefit much simply because the shareholders don't come from the area. Therefore, it will take a long, long time for us to see beneficiation getting to the people who actually reside near the forest and where actually they are taking use to grain. Those areas now benefit people who do not come from those areas. I'd like to know that if the department know of such people, why don't they come out and say the Duku-Duku. There are so many shareholders. This one comes from such and such area. This comes from such and such area. So that the people who are within those areas can interact with the shareholders. I'll say this because we have the same state of affairs in my area. We have landlords. The workers there get less than $1,000. Whereas in one of the landlords, just to sleep for a night, you don't pay less than $3,000. It's unthinkable. Our resources are taken away from us by people who do not deserve it. This is the Ulusagiti, Sagin, and Shana.
You
put your Ifale tool. Therefore, it shouldn't be like that. As it turned into going down. Ifale tool, I think you were eating and
everything.
Vomiting so that Ifale Abani is going down. Okay. The department is the victim of the department to identify those people. We will be pleased to know exactly who are those people. Then there's licensing. How long does it take? How do the department give licenses to the people who come from far away instead of giving licenses to the residents of the area? Okay, is this a lot of money still hoarded in the Department of what? Water Affairs and Forest? Money is there. What are the difficulties the department needs to fast track and distribute money to the people? Because some of them who are supposed to be the beneficiaries, I think, are dead now. And it would be very difficult for the department to change. What measures is the department doing? Thank you.
May I ask you to confine yourself as a legislative aspect? Because I think we did have the department before speaking to, whether we are making any progress in policy and so on. So the department said these are the proposals of what what they think should be changed in the act. I think it will be good if the members could respond to that part also.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is actually with regards to chapter 4, where they are talking about the agreement, the lease agreement between the CGC and Amatoi. But mine, actually, I'm interested with this one for the CGC, because I also got a phone call from Eastern Cape, the people who are serving in this CGC. And they actually wanted a clarity with regard to their shares. In that trust, they were saying they are saying that actually things are not right. There is a lot of squabbles, and they are not satisfied. So I also need to find out also from the GDG as to whether what is happening with regard to this, so that we could be clarified. They also wanted me also to come back to them to tell them exactly what is happening. But I'm not sure. I don't know as to whether these people actually who are some shareholders, if they are residing within that area, or are those people actually from far away, as my colleague Honorable Zubian has just indicated. I just want to find out, because it is mentioned here, so I'm very much interested to find out as to whether those people actually around those areas are benefiting, those people who are part of the CGC. And another one that I also need to find out is with regard to the appointment of forestry extension officers that will help comply with the community, that the DDG are needed to. I just wanted to find out, when are these people going to be appointed, so that they can start in these communities, as we've heard that there is an outcry out there where the communities need to be helped in this regard. Thank you very much.
Commissioner, I think the proposals that have been made, I think they are constructive. I think the portfolio committee has to look into it. Having said that, what one would like to know, I mean, the preamble, certain statements that you made, especially before I go to that, you raised the question of the 100 million, you know, why has it not been utilized and what are the issues, and also about the 3 million. Then the presenter made some reference to international relations. I didn't follow that very clearly. I do not know whether we will be subjected to globalization in respect of our economy and afforestation. Then you said something about the state's role in forestry needs to change. Now, what are these changes? So I think we need more clarification on these matters. That's it. Finally, you make reference to achieving significant progress in domestic beneficiation of products. Also elaborate on that. Thank you.
What I wanted to know is who is supposed to identify the person that they are taking the beneficiary of this, so that the money can be dispersed to them. And also, really, I think each department has a target of this industry in terms of the people that are working in the forest, because really, they are not getting money. That is true. And also, really, it's true that other people that were part of the consortium in this project, they've died. I had a brother that died. He didn't benefit anything. When he died, then they took his son. They took his son. But that son just went there. He was young. He was disillusioned, because he said, no, man, I'm not getting anything. We're not getting paid. So really, it's
management, and also really so that people don't lose the company.
Can I, as we are about to close, say the following? I want to ask that all the speakers that raised issues with regard to the challenges that they face in their own area. Over there you can see the Commission Secretary. I really would want you to provide with the finer details of what you have stated here, because you didn't necessarily get into the name of the local area. We heard the province and so on. So I think in order for us to both put it into our report but also refer to the relevant officials, we need finer details. So I think if you can please make sure before you leave, give all the necessary information to Chia Leka, Matikula, the committee, and the secretary, so that we address the issues that you are raising here, all of you. Then, secondly, with regard to the act that you are DDG for, the issues that you have raised, but I want to ask the following. Before I do that, let me submit that the review that the department sent to Parliament and to say has been acknowledged. I must submit it's never come before this committee at all. That review, that might not necessarily be your problem, but might have been the system of Parliament. That depending on what you have said in there, it's probably still up there in the system or somewhere in the committee section, something like that. But I think we have got to get some response on the fact that you've complied with the act that says that there needs to be a review every 3 years, and this committee has not engaged with your complying with the act. I don't think it can be correct that we leave it untouched, because really it's about the implementation of the act. So I think from our side we've got to follow up, and I would ask the committee secretary to engage with yourself or the parliamentary officer in that regard. So we can't have things in Parliament stuck somewhere and not getting to the committee. Let me say further. Do we think that the Act speaks sufficiently to the reality of the climate change and its effect? I know that the Department of Deep speaks quite a lot to it, but really, both in water and in forestry, do we think that the Act does make sufficient provision for that? And don't we require an amendment in that regard, rather, to bring about that reality? The second one that you've got to assist me with is, if we look at the Act, its objectives, and so on, and if you look at the different chapters that are in the Act, the Act tends to be quite strongly with regard to regulation, compliance, and so on. But recognition has been given that forestry has a substantial economic benefit in this country. And does the Act, other than saying we would like to assist, does the Act really assist us economically, or has got sufficient economic sentences within the Act? Or do you rely on, for example, the Department of Trade and Industry in this instance that you borrow from their provision to implement the economic aspects of the Act? And, have a charter that speaks to, you know, all these different things that the charter says. I'm asking that because if we listen to what the people have said here this morning and I have said before this committee timelessly, one of the difficulties is that it doesn't look like we are getting to grips with is a particular end of the economy, and that is particularly your disadvantage, your rural people and so on. Now, do we require further legislation in that regard, or do we require implementation in that regard? So that's why I'm asking, do we really think that the Act does assist us economically, or, you know, what's the role as a, is it more what's the role as a regulator that the Act is speaking to? If you can assist us with that, and then that should take us to the end of this meeting. Now we move to the Honourable Under Vault and Opportunity, and then I think the Office will respond.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, just when you spoke about climate change, I recall some sort of a decision that we as a committee took, specifically on forestry, to have a request a joint meeting with the Agriculture and Land Affairs Committee, because we've got this overlapping thing of the land claims on a lot of our forest land, as well as the, I would call it agriculture of forests. And then maybe also at a stage we could have one with environmental affairs, as the minister there did a lot of work on climate change. But I think, you know, we're running out of time, unfortunately, and we've requested this some time ago already, and it's not happened. Because we, as a committee, are not sure what's happening on the land claim, so we are forest land under claim.
Well, that reminds the honourable member again, in the Act, does the Act assist us with a land reform proposal? Because I think the department has continuously said to us, you know, the money is becoming, the pot is becoming bigger and bigger, and they're unable to distribute. In the meantime, we hear people saying the things that they have said here today and other days. Does the Act not require us to say something about, you know, land reform? Or if this Act doesn't, is the department intending to participate in any other legislative reform processes on land reform, because you are being hampered all the time by the land issues? Did you?
Yes,
Madam
Chair.
Thank you very much. I will go back to the first question, the issue about definition. It's an interesting question because if you look at the Act itself, our Act includes plantations as a forest, a type of a forest. The reason why we feel it requires a review is because it may not necessarily be aligned to other definitions of a forest by other people that we are jointly working on forests internationally. And that also addresses a data question. I was not in any way saying that we are going to be subjected to globalization. I was simply saying it is important that when South Africa talks about forests, the people that we work with understand what we mean. Hence the need to be able to review this particular definition and others. The second question was about, even though forestry is only 1% of the land surface of South Africa, it does not mean it doesn't have a negative impact. For this one, I will not provide a response. I will simply say we take note of maybe the need to do a study to see what is this negative impact that we're talking about. And also just to say, Chairperson, it is a regulated activity because it is acknowledged that forestry is a stream flow reduction activity. So whatever we do in forestry is strictly subjected to the provisions of the National Water Act. But I do see an opportunity for us, for instance, to work with the first person to make a submission here, because he was clearly addressing what is the impact of timber industry.
that we can clearly follow up. The other concerns were raised around who are the shareholders and why are we not dispersing the funds. I cannot necessarily respond whether the shareholders are linked to the geography of the agreement. It's a very difficult question. It's a challenging question because I don't see how, as a department, we can restrict people, citizens of this country, for choosing to work in any part of the country. So I cannot really respond on this one. The issue about dispersing funds, we need to point out that the responsibility is the responsibility of the Department of Land Affairs. But as a department, we have worked with the Department of Land Affairs. There is no progress. We have since made a decision that we will do our own verification. Obviously, we'll continue to report to Land Affairs as we do the verification so that we can proceed and give people what is rightfully theirs. What we have also done is that we have requested the minister to appoint trustees that would be responsible for, once the people are confirmed, if Land Affairs agrees, then we can then be able to disperse the funds under the leadership of those trustees. I will not comment on the issues related to the problems with the Singisi agreement. Short to say that as a department, our responsibility is to make sure that the Singisi adheres to the conditions of the contract that was signed. That we do every annually because we do hold meetings with them just to check that they adhere. However, the complaints that you are referring to have been tabled with the department and we are addressing them. Extension officers, when are they going to be appointed? I can't give a definite date, but it's something that we are working on. Maybe hopefully next time we address you, we can be able to say we've appointed so many of the extension officers. The licensing, water use licenses, I see Honorable Ngoyane has left the room. They are subjected to the National Water Act. The complaint that it takes too long to issue licenses has already been acknowledged by the department, and the responsible DDG is dealing with the matter. Lastly, Chairperson, your comments will be looked at, one being the issue about the tabling of the State of Forest Report. The second one, climate change. I do not think the Act as it stands today does address the changes that we are experiencing when it comes to climate and other environmental matters. You have also correctly pointed out that the Act may not necessarily be very strong when it comes to economic development issues and rural economic development. But as you point out, we are trying to work along around the framework that is provided by the Department of Trade and Industry. If the Act was to be reviewed, surely this would be one of the areas that we would be looking at as the department. Land reform process, no comments. Safe to say that at this point, close to 70% of the land that is afforested is under claim. So it's very clear that in a few years' time, whoever will be the owner of the forested land is not going to be the current people. And that is why it's important for the department to make sure that we come up with an institutional arrangement that will be able to deal with the challenges that will be faced by the new owners of plantations. Thank you, Chair.
I want no comment. No comment? Yes, because what we have simply asked is we are concerned that this issue is there all the time, and we're asking whether draft is participating in any of the other legislative reform process on land reform. That was because there's even been an act before Parliament, I'm not sure where it is now, on act that was in
not the Land Use Management Bill. The Act covers what? It's not the Land Use Management Bill.
No. That one. The Act covers. I'll get to it. There's been that Act before Parliament, and I know in the Department of Land and Agriculture, there's a set of bills before the Parliament. It's been that instance that we are asking, because both in relation to water and forestry, there's a link with land and land reform processes. It's under that context that we've asked whether you are participating in there, have participated, intend to participate in that sense. We don't expect you to answer the land reform program per se.
Chairperson, on behalf of the department, I can respond that we do participate within the framework of the system of government.
On a question.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. You're right, but now we know the DDG. I thought you would elaborate a bit more, which is short and sweet. But may I also just ask, what is the process in working with the local government in the ensuring concurrent administration? I mean, the process of the water services currently is a problem. And will the local government structures be able to take over the function efficiently, I might add?
I think I'm right. You actually raised that one, did you?
If not?
You spoke about the
it doesn't be too long.
What I was pointing out, Chair and Honourable Members, is that in terms of the Constitution, management of indigenous forests is a concurrent competency, meaning that provinces should be doing more in the management of forests. What we are doing as a department is to delegate in certain instances or assign in some instances. And to date, we have assigned the responsibility in the Southern Cape to the South African National Park. And we are looking at what can be done in Mpumalanga to give the provincial government more say in the management of forests. With regard to the white paper on local government, I will request Mrs. Carroll to respond, Chair.
The department has been proactively involved in the review of the local government white paper. So we compiled the document and to highlight the areas where we think there should be more interaction and cooperation and where they can take responsibility for certain things. The water section with that as well as forestry. And it relates a lot to all forestry issues, getting it into the IDPs and the PCDSs and ensuring that greening happens, forestation is supported. On the fire issues, it's very important that local government assists us in terms of firefighting and so forth. So we've been proactively involved in that process. To conclude this aspect, I know exactly why you are concerned, because it's absolutely related to the same question as water. I'm sure that the feeling is the same. There are all the difficulties that we are having with the devolution and the fact that water services is there. And I think they're trying to, without saying to you, their fear. In fact, they shouldn't have asked you the question, you see, because I think it's the fear that the members are expressing in relation to our experiences that we are having in the water sector. And you maybe not take that test case with regards to forestry in this instance, so that you don't get into that same difficulty if and when you would want to. There's a strong view in the Timothy that says you shouldn't. That's why they are toying, and they don't hear you saying it. So I think that really is the view of the members in this regard. And I think it also asks the experience of seeing that what we're doing, that the ask that you can help to narrow the gap with regards to, you know, the function, the population, and so on. In conclusion, I do want to say that I think one of the members did say that at least the Forestry Department is a look at the role of the state in forestry and whether indeed you cannot in the legislation look at that aspect. That will hinge on both WASP and SACCO in this instance. Because if the objective of the act is the following, but the direction is the opposite, then of course I think we must see the role of the state in this regard, because it is about poverty alleviation, it's about economic development and so on. And the act does not assist us in this regard. Honourable members, I think it's been an extremely useful session this morning, as quick as it was. But I think I trust you will share with me extremely valuable input and valuable submissions and discussions that have happened here. We trust the short session this morning is assisting in the strengthening of the legislation. We will of course do normal things, put together the report and so on, and see from there where do we take the process to with regard to legislation. Thank all of you. Was there something did you do? May I thank all of you for your